Coming up in 20 minutes, I'll tell you, Mike, about how this wedding went and whether I got a chance to peek at a couple of TVs. Mike was at the Georgia game this weekend. Literally, you said you were right in front of where Kirby pushed his player?
Yeah, man. All of a sudden, it's the mistake quarterback, and he's over on the sideline, and then Kirby, he's trying to get to one of the assistants. Boom! And we're like, would that just happen? And it's funny, the guy behind me is going, he's going to catch hell for that! But it was a great vibe. I know that the student body is getting some heat for not having bodies in the seats, but it was what it was, Carl. It was Miss State, probably with the worst team in the SEC, and there were some late arrivals, put it that way, on 4:15 and kick.
Well, listen, the game, they won the game, but did it feel like it should have? Let's talk some dogs. Connor Riley is here. Connor, you answer that question. They won the game, but did it feel like it should have?
No, this is a Mississippi State team that is probably going to end the year as the worst in the SEC. And while, yes, there was a time where this game was 34-10 and Georgia had a chance to really make it 41-17 at one point, it felt closer because of how Georgia finished the second half in that game. And if you want to make the argument that they tried to downshift and go ahead and prepare for Texas, that's fine. But some of the issues that we've seen throughout this season propped up or came up again in that game against Mississippi State. And there were a couple chances there where Mississippi State had a chance to really make it a game, and they were unable to. But this was by far from Georgia's best showing. And some of the things we saw in that Alabama game came up once again against Mississippi State.
I know, Connor, I've been railing about it. I apologize for just being a broken record. I just felt I needed to run the ball more. Now, I know they want to save ETN. You don't want to have your premier backs getting banged up before the Texas game. But I look at Texas, and they're so good in the pass defense. And you know that Carson Beck just threw for 459 yards. But what about the run game and establishing that in Texas? Is that an oversimplification of what they should be doing?
I think it's an oversimplification for this week. No disrespect, Mike, but you look at the teams that Texas has played – with a pulse. Oklahoma, one of the worst offenses in football. Michigan, they do not have a quarterback on their team. This is by far and away going to be the best passing offense that this Texas defense has faced, and I'm not all that certain that they're going to be able to stand up to it. As far as running the ball, I think maybe you're right in some sense. I don't know if it's giving the ball to ETN more, but I think Mike Bobo has done this at times, and maybe you want to see it a little bit more. Getting balls to other guys than wide receivers. We saw it last year, obviously, Brock Bowers, Thad McConkey, but we saw a little bit of it on Saturday. Anthony Evans had a 52-yard run. Dylan Bell had a touchdown in the Alabama game there. I do think that they've got to find ways to be creative in the running game, and now with the running back situation being what it is with Branson Robinson out, Georgia kind of has no choice, I think, but to get Nate Frazier a little bit more involved there in addition to helping out Trevor Etienne. But I thought on Saturday in particular, the running backs left some plays out there, some yards out there that were to be had. And this is a Texas front that has some really talented edge rushers. So Georgia's going to need a complete offensive performance on Saturday. And we're going to learn a lot about both this Georgia offense, but I think this Texas defense as well, because I don't believe they've played anyone in the same ballpark offensively as to what Georgia will bring to the table.
Connor, this may be unfair, but do they miss Muschamp? I mean, Glenn Schumann in the fourth, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what are we calling here? How do you feel about that as far as the calls, or is this simply guys not executing?
I think if they're missing anyone from this coaching staff, it's more the cornerbacks coach, Fran Brown, than it is Will Muschamp. Travis Robinson is still a very good coach, and I think if you look at the problems with this Georgia defense, it is more in the cornerback and front seven than necessarily at that safety position that Will Muschamp was in charge of last season. I think there are a number of different ways we can go here. The pass rush has been non-existent, and I think part of that is they're trying to get Mykel Williams healthy and get him to a point where he can be a down-by-down player. Ask Kirby about that today. He's trying to get to that point there. I don't think that their linebackers now, especially without Small Munden, are great moving side to side, and you've sort of seen that pop up in some of the struggles in terms of covering running backs out of the backfield there. But the biggest worry that came out on Saturday was just this cornerback play, and it was just not good enough. All three of Georgia's top-tier cornerbacks, Dalen Everett, Daniel Harris, and Julian Humphrey, all got beat for big plays on Saturday. Michael Van Buren, the Mississippi State quarterback, threw for 307 yards, and he only had 20 completions. That's 15 yards of completion. That's not where Georgia wants to be in that aspect. So they've got to win some more 50-50 balls. They've got to be better at the cornerback position. And I happen to think a lot of that comes down to execution. And I don't necessarily buy a whole lot of the Will Muschamp and him taking a step back. But I'll, you know, I will give some credit there. Will Muschamp's been a lot of Vanderbilt games this year, you know, to watch his son Witt, and Vanderbilt's playing a lot better than they usually are. And Georgia's secondary has at least taken a step back. So if you want to draw that conclusion, I'm not going to stop
you. I know you had it in Dog Nation, Connor, but Malachi Stark saying, I don't think we've played a complete game, talking about, you know, the lapses against Miss State. Do you need more Muschamp? I could have used more Muschamp. Well, I mean, talk about the defensive coaches. Talk about the philosophy. I mean, I thought we were a little over. I know you disagreed. I thought we were a little over-aggressive going after Alabama. But what will the philosophy be with yours, and how are they going to approach this in the game on Saturday in Austin?
I'm fascinated to watch how this goes, how this chess match goes against Steve Sarkisian. Because the last time Kirby Smart and part of this defensive staff matched up against Sarkisian, Sarkisian carved him up in 2020 when he was the offensive coordinator at Alabama. Now, different personnel. You know, that Alabama team was loaded. Najee Harris, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Mac Jones at quarterback. And nobody was playing defense during that 2020 season. But Sark, in terms of calling a game, is as good as there anyone is in college football. And Glenn Schumann is really going to have a great day on Saturday and have an A-plus plan ready for what they're going to be able to do out there. You know, and it's not just the defense that has not played a complete game. This is a team-wide thing. I think for the most part, Georgia has 40 good minutes in them, and you've seen that throughout the season so far. But they've also got just 20 minutes where they just sort of float through the game, or in games against, like, I think Mississippi State and Alabama, they just don't look good at all. And you can't beat this Texas team with playing that kind of way. If they play 40 good minutes, they're going to lose. And so they're going to have to go out there and play a complete game for the first time this season. Maybe if you want to throw the Clemson game in there, you can. But this is a team going on the road. They know that this Texas team is good enough to beat them if Georgia doesn't bring their A game. And the reality is, we haven't seen that A game from Georgia yet this season. And six games in, I think it's maybe fair to wonder, you know, is this what this team is at this point? Is there not that extra gear that they can hit like they have in years past?
Kirby talked about competing and fighting. Those are terms he used after this game. He was talking about the DBs, but you could apply that to the entire team, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the offense, it was an interesting performance on Saturday. 600 total yards, 41 total points. Those are good things to hit. But, you know, it was a little sluggish out of the gates in terms of just execution, the tip ball interception there, a few red zone stops. Then obviously in the second half, Carson Beck throws an interception where I know he said after the game he thought it was blatant pass interference. You just can't make that kind of a throw there and take points off the board in that situation. And so I think that this is an offense and a team as a whole where, no, they're doing a lot of really good things, but they've yet to put forth a really great performance. I saw a lot of things that you could like from that game, the usage of the wide receivers, the way that they were able to go on a long, time-consuming drive to sort of suck the air out of the game on Saturday. But just like the defense, and like they need to against a very good Texas offense, this Georgia offense, which we thought was going to be the strength of the team going into the year, needs to have a very strong day on Saturday if this Georgia team is going to win. I think this Texas team, maybe not quite as good on defense as they're cracked up to be because of the opponents that they've played. But you look at what happened against Alabama, where Georgia went on the road and scored one touchdown in the first half, you know, missed on some key plays early, and then I think really pressed in the second quarter there. They've got to come out and not necessarily start fast, but start composed. You know, go out there and sustain a drive to start, get into a game, get into the rhythm quickly in that game. And I think that's going to go a long way in helping this Georgia team.
Talking with Connor Riley, guys. K. Connor Riley from Dog Nation. Before we let you go, no, it wasn't Woody Hayes punching Clemson's Charlie Ballman, but it happened right in front of me. So everyone in my section was like, did that really just happen? I know that Kirby reached out to Coach Lebby from Miss State and apologized for pushing Van Buren. Nothing happened. SEC's not going to look at this, right? Everything's cool?
No, Greg Sankey has put out a statement saying Kirby Smart should have been flagged for making contact with Van Buren on the play there. He was not. It was especially that because the referee was right there. And on first glance, it looks like he's going up to yell at the referee. But, you know, he explained that it was Schumann, and then you pretty clearly see that he's trying to get Schumann's attention there. I think that this is something where Smart was caught up in the heat of the moment. And the way that the fourth quarter had unfolded for Georgia and really the second half as a whole, you can understand why Smart was a little bit on edge. But he also recognized this is something that can happen. Greg Sankey has said as much. And I think going forward, if something like this does happen with Smart again, there's obviously going to be a much sterner punishment for this type of action and behavior.
All right, Connor. I'd love to say, I know it's Monday and we're still, you know, reminiscing about the weekend, but this is such a big game for the Dogs on the road. The Kentucky atmosphere will be nothing like what they'll see at Texas. But what do you think? Close game? Closer than people expect it to be? How do you feel, at least right now?
I don't really have a great feel for this game. I was confident going into the Alabama game. I maybe, like Georgia, was a little too confident in that regard. There's not a history between these two teams. So Kirby Smart, he's never coached a game in Austin, and so it's going to be a unique atmosphere. I know on Saturday you've got the red and black versus the orange, and then maybe on Sunday in Austin at Circuit of Americas, you've got the red and black of the TFOC going against the orange and McLaren's. It's going to be a really fun weekend. I know a ton of Georgia fans are going down to the game. I would expect there to be maybe more Georgia fans than some would anticipate for this game. Texas, not exactly known for having a great home crowd. And it's going to be just, I think, an all-time great environment. And coming off a great college football last weekend, I expect another one this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this, that you can get normally tickets. It's always, you know, because the stadium's so big. I mean, you can find tickets.
It's like Jerry World, the same situation there.
So I wouldn't say that it's not a great fan base. I take offense to that. But I would say that you can get tickets because they're available. And, again, you're talking about 100,000+ folks. It's going to be a lot of fun. Connor, thanks so much. Tell the people where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, if you guys can follow me on Twitter, at K Connor Riley. We're going to have a ton of stuff now between leading up to the big game on Saturday.
All right, man. All right.
Connor says no to the rush and yes to the pass. So it's going to be another – I don't think – the same thing that happened with Alabama, I don't think you go into Texas and win a shooting match.
I don't either.
Not to use an old Western reference, but, I mean – it's hard to wrap my head around that one, too.
I don't either, Mike. I mean, that's just because I feel like Texas is more prepared to play that kind of game.
Now, unless you feel that Texas's numbers are skewed in their pass defense rankings because of who they played.
Yeah, you got to challenge it.
I mean,
I think
yes,
you absolutely
I'm with him. Like, this guy, you know, Carson Beck control for seemingly 450 every time he goes out there. But I don't know. I still think run the damn ball, man.
All right, guys, more to get to, including weekend festivities. Was I losing my mind? Guy Talks on the way. And also in the 5 o'clock hour, you will get a chance to hear from Kirk Cousins, our quarterback, after this Falcon win this weekend. Falcons have won 3 in a row. We own the division right now. AJ Terrell with the pick. You'll hear him as well. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Dukes and Bell. It is a Falcon Monday, guys. Falcons win 38-20. They control this game. Second half, the defense really turned it on. Mike and I still a little bit concerned, a little bit, about the pass rush. But overall, can we really be concerned with the performances we've seen, Mike?
Hey, like the entire league is like 4-2 right now, and there's teams that look like they're trending the right way, and there's teams that look like lost puppies like the Cowboys. You know, the Lions certainly passed the eye test, but they just lost one of the best pass rushers in the league, you know, for the season. So, and, you know, we'll find out. I just feel, as a Falcon fan, we still haven't had the complete game. I mean, this is the closest we've come to. And I guess it's an inferior opponent, but we don't apologize. You said earlier, we do what you're supposed to do against an inferior opponent. You dominate. You just, again, I harp on that touchdown before the half. Take that away. The fumble to Ray McLeod that nobody seems to understand. You know, and that resulted in 3 points for Carolina. And again, lost calories because we didn't get to finish that drive.
As far as the things, and we'll talk more about this coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, that we should feel really good about is this run game, man. You run for 200 yards on anybody in the National Football League. That's a good day. That is a good sign.
Balance, man. And the fact that, you know, I think a good football team 1 week, the Bucs took away the run, we got a quarterback who can throw for 500 yards and engineer another come from behind victory. We go on the road, we salt away a game. For those who know what it means, you know, the meat back in the day, Carl, was salted away.
That's
anyway,
right.
The idea would be
preserve it.
To get it done, and you do it through the run. And Kirk Cousins afterwards said that's the kind of thing which will pay dividends in a road or anywhere in the playoffs, period. So the ability to win and beat you a number of ways, that's a good football team.
Yeah, and here's the other part, too. I mean, this was a 5-point game with 10 seconds left in the third quarter. 5 points. And you're going, are we going to be all right here? And then they turned it on, right? And you go
Still a division game.
Yes.
You know, even though I know they were banged up and Derek Brown's gone and Burns is gone, but still.
That's the thing. I mean, going into the fourth quarter, it's a game, and then it isn't. Like, again, if the Clark Phillips, you know, if he runs and turns that into a touchdown, which he easily could have, you know, we got it's a different score, and around the country, Mike, people are looking at this like, whoa, Falcons won big. Anytime you win by 18 points in the National Football League, that's a big deal. But we could have won by, you know, 24.
Right.
So
that's, I think, the McLeod, perhaps that, again, maybe you get a score on that one. We talked about, you know, they do have to get a better pass rush because you can't let Andy. That's the thing. We said this on Friday. Everyone's laughing like Andy Dalton's a punchline to a joke. There's a meme now because they're asking Sanchez. And by the way, Sanchez, boy, does that make your ears bleed. They're asking Mark Sanchez about the quarterback situation in Carolina. He goes, well, Bryce Young can learn from a veteran like Dalton, and then he throws the pick to A.J. Terrell. It's like, I mean, it's like perfect timing.
It was. It really was. 404-726-0929. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain, Real Estate Guys, here on a Falcon Monday. Coming up, you'll hear from Kirk Cousins and A.J. Terrell, who did get that interception Mike's talking about. As far as now, when you say, all right, what's the rest of this schedule look like? Here's the thing. Let's not get in front of ourselves. What we thought was going to be the most difficult part of the schedule, I think has turned out to be that. Listen, the Chiefs are the real deal. They're 5-0. Right? It may not feel like the Chiefs, but the fact is they're undefeated. We talked about the Eagles. You go back and say, all right, did we steal one, Mike? Sometimes you get lucky and you steal one that maybe it shouldn't have happened. But that's how I feel about the Eagles game. But then I fast forward or go back and rewind and I go, well, wait a minute. I feel like we got robbed in the Chiefs game. It's one we probably should have won.
Right.
And then, you know, you talk about, you know, what happened in these last couple of games in our division. I feel really good right now about where this team is. I just do. Doesn't mean we're going to win the Super Bowl, guys. Long season ahead of us. But if you were to say, hey, Dukes and Bell, 6 weeks in, where's our Falcon football team? You guys were asking us in June, July.
Right.
4-2 is pretty damn good.
And look, you beat Seattle, and this will be a tough one because you've seen the kind of things that Seattle can do. Seattle's also stubbed themselves, you know, stubbed their toe, and they made some mistakes. But this is a team coming east. I like our chances this week. We opened up as a 3.5-point favorite. It's at 3 right now. I'd say some consumer news you can use. Lock it in now. But I think we'll be okay. I'm not, put it this way. A game which maybe we looked at, I don't know, that'd be a tough one. Maybe you feel better about that. You're just seeing the teams. The one that really I'm worried about is the rematch with the Bucs. Because the Bucs just dropped an atomic can of whoop-ass on the Saints, if you didn't see it, especially in that second half.
Yeah, and say what you want. Baker Mayfield's playing well. Now, the crazy thing is, yesterday, he made mistakes, but he made up for it, Mike, in this game against the Saints. And he's got 15 touchdowns on the season. 15. 5 picks, 15 touchdowns. So he throws 3 picks, but then he throws for 317 and 4 touchdowns. So it was kind of like, which Baker is the real Baker here? Either way, it was the defense that won this game for the Bucs. And to Mike's point, here's why we should be concerned. And again, we'll see them, what, at the end of the month, I think it is?
I'm going down there. I think it's October 27th.
27th. So, yeah. Mike, they were able to take the run away from us, and the defense completely shut down New Orleans yesterday, specifically in the second half. The offense got shut out. So that is something they've been able to do a couple of weeks in a row to two different divisional opponents.
Look, we had Andy Dalton dead to rights a couple of times in this game. I think the Lorenzo Carter is the one play that everyone's kind of sticking in their head because you got to wrap him up. Yep. I mean, it gets back to – and look, they did finally call a penalty on one of the tackles because Matthew Judon couldn't catch a break. I joked around with Carl. It's like, remember, John Abraham would just get – they just basically just wrap his arm up, and that's what they were doing to Judon. But the pass rush – we'll ask Coach Ra again on Wednesday. We'll be up there, guys, exclusively talking to the coaching staff and see what they say about, you know, how do we dial up some pass rush, man?
Yeah.
And get there.
Well, that's got to get better. And Ra's discussed it. He's talked about it. But I think he's happy with the defense. And the reason why is, here's the other part. We just don't give up over-the-top big explosive plays. We just don't. And we're one of the league's best at that. When you start talking about what differentiates some of these teams offensively, and Mike, how they're able to get up on teams, big plays. We haven't given up a lot of that. And so from that standpoint, it's good. But I do think, Mike, the better quarterbacks that we're going to see in this league down the road, say what you want. We still got to see Herbert. We still got to see Sam Darnold. Don't laugh. We still have to see, Mike, Jaden Daniels, who's playing as well as any rookie quarterback right now that's ever been in the NFL.
Road game.
So these are things where you start to say, okay, and again, you know, Dak's going to come in here. The Cowboys look like a mess, but guys, it's the NFL. They'll get some stuff corrected. I don't know if they'll be beat like that again, but I don't think the Cowboys are that good. I've seen them now. I saw them last week in Pittsburgh. They weren't that good, and they won. And then this week, they weren't good and got humiliated.
Yeah, the one thing is, though, but this goes back to the same argument about Andy Dalton. You know, if you give Dak Prescott time, that time, he's going to rip you up because they still got CeeDee Lamb. They got the weapons. The Cowboys are just a hot mess. Micah Parsons, presumably, I'll be back for that game.
Sure.
But you're right. All of a sudden, you know, the way the schedule looked, we always felt, man, I felt 2-2. Now you go 3-2 the first five. this team is where it should be. I mean, yes, we're like a lot of teams. We had a really kind of weird first week. We weren't ready to go compile. You know, if you add up the Kirk Cousins injury at the time, and I think Zach, don't you think Zach's evolving as a play caller too?
Yeah, he's getting more comfortable. It's like you and anybody in their job. I mean, you do it for the first few times, and you show up, you're like, okay, now I got the hang of it. I mean, I feel like that applies to anybody. It's easy to say it's your job. Now what do you do with it? Now how do you handle it?
Mm.
Now how are you calling these plays, and how do you keep the balance? When you go look at our balance from yesterday, Mike, I think we ran the ball like 36 times. It was almost perfect. I think we ran 60 or 68 or 67 plays. We had more plays, by the way, for the first time than our opponent,
right?
And there was complete balance. So I love it.
As we said, it was sublimely Shanahan-like.
Hey, man, we got some guy talk coming up. I told Mike I was going to talk about this wedding beforehand because I do want to fill you in. I got to give a big shout-out to Sydney and Ben, and I will, as I just did. But they got married. Great ceremony. Lots of folks. And, Mike, lots of people there that listen to Dukes and Bell that I had no idea.
Nice. Hey, man, also coming up, is it okay to use your child as a prop when everybody in the city wants your butt fired? We'll explain next, coming up in Guy Talk. Where to play is play. Hey, bang. It's a Falcon Victory Monday. We're going to hear the coach's show coming up at 6. You'll hear from Arch in that victorious locker room up there in Charlotte.
Woo!
Falcon fans, big takeover at Bank of America. Knew they would. And always, like, nobody in that house, man, when they kick off, it was like, man. But that's Carolina. That's Charlotte.
It is.
Tepper.
A.J. Terrell, by the way, the player guest tonight.
Nice.
By the way.
First pick in 3 seasons.
Woo!
But it was big, and hopefully the shape of things to come. Stick around. Now, over the week, last week, we were talking about the rudeness, the selfishness of people who plan these fall football season weddings. But apparently the venue was great, and there are lots of TVs. Tell me about the experience while you were trying to watch Oklahoma versus Texas.
Yeah, and here's the deal. I got a chance to watch at least the first, because the wedding was like 6. We had to be in our seats or at least by 6. So I got a chance. The game was like 3:30. So, you know, the first quarter. But then you're getting in the car, and you're driving. And,
right, not the same.
Yeah, and so we get there, and this was at the West End Garage down there in the West End right off the Beltway. Great spot. Had no idea they had a venue in the back of this place, Mike. But as you walk through it, there's a bunch of televisions. There's food and venues and whatnot that you can stop at on your way there and then once you get in. Bottom line, though, is I got there. It ended up working out. Sydney and Ben, congratulations. Want to give a big shout-out to Matt Stevens. Mike, Matt.
Did you catch the bouquet?
I did not. I did not. Matt Stevens is a big listener, and his wife, Caitlin, works with my wife. And literally, at one point, Michelle's like, you see the guy at the end of the table? I'm like, yeah. And I was waiting for some juicy, you know, tea, some gossip. She's like, he is a big listener, and he's acting like he doesn't want to come over here, but he might.
Okay.
I said, okay. So I looked over, and Mike, he was looking at me. I'm like, why are you eyeballing me, boy? Why are you eyeballing me? No, I didn't say that to him. He looks over. We catch eyes and eye contact. And I'm like, hey, dude, come on over. Great dude. He listens all the time. So, Matt, big shout out to him. His wife is Caitlin. Sue and Mark, we had a great time visiting with you guys. But there were folks there who, after, obviously, you know, the ceremony takes place, beautiful, and we're partying and enjoying the food and the cake and all that stuff. Mm. Just a really good time. But the best part about it was, and I only say this for if you get caught up in this, guys, I didn't have a choice. Just make sure they got TVs. That's all I'm going to tell you. Because I was able to at least check in, Mike, and I didn't feel like a jerk being on my phone the entire time. You know what I mean?
Right, and that's always the concern. And luckily, I mean, look, the game was well in hand. I got beat on that one. I had the over on that one. I thought Oklahoma was going to score some points. I thought Texas would even run it up even higher.
Once we went up 20, I felt really good because they weren't doing anything.
Yeah, and that was it. But no, didn't get the over-under on that one. We all won with the Falcons. I think we all won who took the Texans.
Sure. And by the way, give you credit because you early in the week, you said jump on this at 6.
Right.
And we wondered why the number didn't change. Who cares?
Just don't think it drives the meter in Vegas, and that's what, you know, puts the big money out there. But we all won with that one. That was good. Chris, how we all do, by the way, with the picks?
Yeah, so Carl and Oren are both 10 and 8,
right.
And you and I are 9 and 9.
Yep, and again, I lost, unfortunately, Carl. That my wife goes, don't bet Pitt. My wife's a Pitt alum. And Pitt had been 5-0 against the number and had to come from behind to beat Cal. But that ain't no cover Ain't no cover when she's gone. Anyway, all right, on to some stuff from Guy Talk. Couple of things. I can't believe this guy's still got eligibility. He looks literally like Uncle Rico with a mullet. Talking about Utah's Cam Rising, who this guy literally can't catch a break. Hurt again.
Wow.
He had three interceptions as Utah grinded out a win this weekend against Arizona State. Threw for 43.2%, and something obviously wasn't right. And his coach, Willingham, says, yep, they may explore a medical redshirt, and that would be an eighth year of eligibility.
How?
For Cam Rising.
That's crazy.
Well, I mean, Travis had, 6 years by the time he wrapped up at FSU. And you put in the COVID year with that, and then 2 years to injury. He got squished by Penn State in the 22-23 Rose Bowl, and he missed the whole 23 season. So the dude for Utah, you ain't going to see him this season. Hey, this is kind of cute. I mean, in a sense that, you know, it's, back in the day, they were something special. Talking about Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch was in attendance, had a field pass in the pregame of the Steelers and the Raiders. So Russell Wilson, along with, everybody else, Justin Fields is warming up in the end zone. Marshawn walks over and goes, yo, cuz, give me the rock. So they simulate a handoff for old time's sake.
Oh, that's cool.
Russell Wilson to a beast mode, which I thought was kind of neat.
No, that is. That's cool, man. You know what? I'm just glad they're on talking terms.
Right. Exactly. Everybody in that Seattle team threw Russ under the bus. Hey, man, if you didn't see it, we were talking about this earlier in the show in the NFL Blitz. Now, for guys, because we live in a kinder, gentler period where maybe some of our audience might not understand, what's the problem? Well, if you win a national championship or you win an NBA title and you've got your lovely child, baby, bouncing on your knee, that's one thing. When you're a coach in Philadelphia who continues to make completely stupid decisions and eke out wins, and everybody is circling to have your keister in a sling, a lot of folks are saying the optics were ridiculous, that Nick Sirianni had all three of his kids, I presume, how many kids he's got. Well, three of them were on the podium in the postgame.
So let me ask you this. Does he normally do this? The answer is
no. And that's where the conversation begins.
So if you do this, we've seen Steph do it, but Steph's the most likable guy in sports, all right? We've seen other athletes do this. But if you do this from the jump, Mike, hey, I'm going to have my kids up here every week, that's different. This seems like you said it, a shield.
Well, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, he has in the past had his one or more of the kids on the podium, mostly, as we used to do with Arthur Smith, his son would be there in preseason.
True.
Occasionally, over the course of his tenure at regular season, but this is the first time in 2024 that the kids have made an appearance.
Okay. Is he trying too hard?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, nothing against you want to get your kids involved, and that's great, and it's cool, but it just seems like when you're begging for sympathy, it's kind of like Petrino. When Petrino had to go wear the neck brace after he had the motorcycle accident with his special lady friend. What does he choose to wear when he goes to that? Remember I took you to the Sugar Bowl? Remember he had the Sugar Bowl?
Don't forget what I've done for you.
He could have worn any hat. He had that ridiculous neck brace and the road rash all over his face. Now, there are still people out there. You and I have friends in Arkansas and Oklahoma and Louisiana who still swear that it was the girlfriend's husband that was following him. That's when he laid the motorcycle down. Don't know if that's true. Either way, it makes for a better story.
It does.
But that's why, yes, remind the boosters of Arkansas. I took you to a Sugar Bowl. We won that game. Hey, some other stuff. You were talking about your weekend. I was out in Athens. Boy, you want to feel old? Good buddy of mine, Wade Hudson, want to give him a shout out. Wade, by the way, he plays live music up by you over in East Cobb and Roswell.
Okay.
So he does a lot of stuff up there and live music. Great guitar player. I've known this guy for as long as I've been in Atlanta. Well, years ago at the taco stand out in Athens for a game, his bass, speaking of bringing your kids around, I did a picture of me holding his daughter, Jade, and the joke was like, his wife's like, Mike doesn't know what to do with the child in his arms, quite obviously.
That's funny.
Ran into her on Saturday. I showed you the picture.
You
beautiful
did.
18-year-old girl. I'm not going to put the photo on social media because you cretins will say something, but she's a knockout. But Wade and his wife did a great job. But boy, talk about feeling old.
Yeah, I know it was parent weekend up there because it rotates around the SEC, and a lot of parents, friends we have that their kids go to UGA. That's the crazy thing, Mike, is when you, like, we're talking with folks at this wedding, and when we got here, I've said this, Trent was like second grade. My daughter was in second grade.
Right.
She's a sophomore in college, right? And so we knew people who had small kids when we got here, and like their kids are 26, 27, like have started life.
Right.
And you're like, hey, how's such and such doing? And they're like, oh, they're engaged and blah, blah. And you're like, what? And you remember him as a little, like a little, right. You know, so it's hard, man. I mean, life flies by, but to your point, you start to feel a little bit old.
There's a guy, I got time for one more story. There's a guy, a good friend of ours, listens to the show, Dale from Riverdale, was an old caller of the old show. He calls in every once in a while. Years ago, won a contest from the station to go to a NASCAR race. And we did the show at Hooters, and we took him on the bus, and the Hooters girls were on the bus. He was only, like, the kid was only 10 at the time. And we were up in the suite. It was the Budweiser suite at Atlanta Motor Speedway. And the girls had, like, the Budweiser, you know, skin-tight Budweiser for dresses. Sure. And they change out of them at the suite, and then they're in, like, street clothes, which actually looked even more crazy hot, like leather bustiers and stuff. And so they were on the bus, and we dropped the listeners off at the Hooters on Terra Boulevard. And Dale goes, "Tell Mr. Bell what you just told me." He was 10. He goes, "Mr. Bell, this is the greatest day of my life." Well, now he's like a Navy SEAL. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right, it's right.
Like,
he's grown up.
I think he's like a sergeant. I mean, he's out there. But anyway, that's just recollections. Real quick, one more nugget. On this date in 1992, Sid Slid.
Oh,
the
my.
Legendary Skip Carey call.
My.
Of course, you know, you guys know. You guys were there. Cabrera with the single. And, of course, Slid and Barry Bonds with that lollipop of a throw from left field. Also,
a lot of room in right center. If he hits one there, we can dance in the streets. The 2-1. Swung line drive.
If you don't get goosebumps on that one, Braves fans, when Sid Slid on this date back in 1992, talked to Skip subsequently years later. I was at Home Depot and I bought like a bottle opener. And when you open the bottle, it goes, you get the call. Braves win, Braves win. I go to Skip. I go, you must be making bank of that.
I don't see a penny on that. That's some sort of TBS licensing agreement.
Anyway, there's your guy talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Ale. Busy week for us. We'll be at Falcons camp. Got our big Paint Gwinnett Pink event. And we'll tell you how you can get involved with us. That'll be on Thursday. And then Friday, we're going to be up at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
Yeah, lots going on, man. Make sure you come out and hang out with us. Coming up, we won 3 in a row. What does it mean? And you'll hear from our quarterback. We talk about my quarterback, Kirk Cousins and A.J. Terrell, as part of the Falcon Report.